Our Father in heaven, we gather now thanking you for the day that you've given us, for your mercies and grace that have been more than sufficient for us this day. We do lift up, Father, ones in our congregation who are going through deep trials, that you will draw near to them, grant them your peace and strength to endure and to be a testimony for you. And we pray that you will show mercies and restore health and strength to them. Thank you for the Corona's new baby girl, baby Grace, that she's here healthy. And we just praise you for her life and ask your blessing upon this family. And guide us now, Father, as we finish this class and consider lifelong learning in Jesus' name. Amen. Last lesson, being a lifelong learner. Some of us have less time than others. Sir, you got a long time, Lord willing. Some of the rest of us don't have so long to be a lifelong learner. Some textbook comments. Growth is a never-ending process for the Christian. If you stop growing, something's wrong. You need to keep growing. And I've mentioned to you before, the lady that was in a previous church lived to be 104 and 103. She still had her mind. She said, Pastor, I'm still learning. And that's good. If you think you've arrived, you haven't. You know the meaning of the word commencement? High school graduation, commencement, what's that mean? It's just the beginning. You've got tools, now you're going to begin to use those tools. Learn to use them even better. Another one from page 89. As the believer's textbook for life, the Bible is the most important element in lifelong learning. And increased knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures should be a major goal of every adult believer. Most of you know I spent 34 years going through the Bible, basically two verses a day, writing commentary, or translating it, writing commentary on it, and personal application and prayers. I'm going back through it now, and I'm editing all of it, and it's amazing the changes I'm making, because I've grown over 34 years. Some of them are somewhat major, most of them are minor. A lot of it's just plain grammar and spelling and so forth. But I'm realizing I did study that 25 years ago, and I still am learning something. Since the Bible teaches that growth in the Christian life comes from the inside out, we need to develop a growth plan that includes disciplining our inner life, our thoughts, our heart, our motives. Those things will help you in your growth more than just doing external acts. Another textbook comment. We must make sure that we become not only good hearers of the word, but also good doers. So you're not going to grow simply by filling up your mind with facts. Those facts have to be translated into life. You've got to be a doer of the word as well as a hearer. From your collateral reading, I thought this was really good. God designed the church to be a community of lifelong learners under the earthly guidance of leaders who are teachers at heart. As long as Sovereign Grace Bible Church is here, it needs to be a teaching church where we are helping people to become lifelong learners from the moment they're born until the moment God takes them home. And it doesn't simply have to be done only by the leaders. It says it's under the earthly guidance of leaders. But we help one another. In areas where you're strong, you can set an example and model and encourage others by what God is doing in your life. And that's the community aspect of it. You're not on your own trying to learn, or you shouldn't be. Simply put, the focal point and center of our lifelong learning is the person and work of Christ. On page 4, he said, lifelong learning over time will mean developing resistance to simply veg out. You know what vegging out means? Get back. Take it easy. Unplug your mind. Lifelong learning over time will mean developing resistance to simply veg out whenever you feel the impulse. And turn some of these moments, if not many, into opportunities to grow instead. Most of us waste a lot of time that could be devoted to our own spiritual growth and helping others to do so. Own the truth that in a sense we creatures never arrive, not even in the new creation. Are you going to stop learning when you get to heaven?
No.
We're going to learn like we've never learned before. Some psychologists have figured out that we use at most, the smartest people in this world use at most only about 10% of their brain's capacity. Can you imagine what it would be like if we had the full use of the mind, unencumbered with sin? I think that's one reason God's put a restraint on the human mind, because we would have destroyed ourselves long before now, humanly speaking, if we had the full use of our mind. So when we get to heaven, all that's cleared away, and it says we will know as we are known. And you're really going to like theology when you get to heaven, Jan.
Okay.
You might as well start now.
Okay.
Let's look at the book and some comments that point towards lifelong learning. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Lifelong learning. Learning what sin is and putting it away. Learn what sin is and separate yourself from it because of the damage that it does to your life. If you're growing plants and they're being under attack by bugs, you get rid of bugs so your plants can grow. And in a way, that's what sin does to us, that we need to put away. That's the negative aspect of lifelong learning. When I became a Christian, I thought I knew what sin was. But the older I get in the faith, the more I realize sin that I never knew was sin. And it's not so much the overt acts anymore as it is the internal things that you struggle with. I heard a story one time about a preacher that came to a new church, and his first series of messages was on sin. And he really laid it out, yeah, this is what sin is. And after the series, one dear old saint walked out the door and said to him, "Pastor, I never knew what sin was until you came."
That was a good one.
Made him scratch his head a little bit. But the positive aspect, verse 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law that's in view there is not simply the Ten Commandments. It's a word that's Torah, that basically means instruction. And he's referring to all the Word of God by that term. But he delights in the instruction of the Eternal One. And on his instruction, he meditates day and night. And it doesn't say day and night until he graduates from high school. And he keeps on doing it all his life long. And as a result, it says he's like a tree planted by streams of water. It yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf also does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. So he compares him to a tree. He's constantly growing. She cut trees, saw them down, you count the rings. Unless it's a palm tree, I guess. You count the height of that. It doesn't have rings, but regular trees have rings, and it shows growth. And sometimes when you cut it, people who've studied environments will say, well, that, see this ring, that's so close to this ring, that must have been a dry year. And this ring is pretty separated from the previous ring. There must have been a lot of rain that year.
And so it tells you a lot. You know, if God cuts your spiritual life in half, how many rings would there be in it? What would it look like? And as long as you're living, because you're like a tree, you just keep getting better. More rings and rings. And yielding fruit in its season. And the leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. So that's something about lifelong learning. Here's another one that is quite good. It's similar, but it adds something that we need to see in terms of something being lifelong. Psalm 92 and verse 12. He picks up the idea of the metaphor of a tree. He says, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God." Now watch this. "They shall bear fruit in old age." Lifelong learning, how to bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. "To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him." Lifelong learning, you still bear fruit in old age. My 104-year-old friend, she was such an amazing lady. She was a musician. She played the organ up till just before I came and quit because she thought she was too old. And the next year, God convicted her about that attitude. And she confessed it and went back and played the organ for another 4 years. And she played it good. She didn't drag it and miss notes. And she was an excellent organist. She led the choir until she was 101. But the last 2 years, she did it sitting in a chair. She still did it. I don't know if you've ever heard of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was precursor to Billy Graham. He was converted as an adult. He was a baseball player for the Chicago White Sox. Got converted, and God called him to be an evangelist. And my grandfather, in fact, was converted under this minister. He was from Iowa and did a lot of campaigns in Iowa. But he had this saying about his preaching. He says, "As long as God gives me life, I'm going to preach against sin. And if God takes away the power to preach against sin, I'm going to hit it with my fist. And if he takes away the power to hit it with my fist, I'm going to kick it with my feet. And if he takes away the power to kick it with my feet, I'm going to bite it with my teeth. And if he takes away my teeth, I'm going to gum it till the day I die." That's lifelong learning applied, bringing forth fruit in old age. Here's a New Testament text from the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3. We've got you starting at verse 12, but I'm going to go back just a little bit before that. We'll start at verse 8. Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." That's kind of Psalm 1, isn't it? He separated himself from things of lesser value for things of greater value, Christ. He says, "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know him." That was a lifelong learning process for him. To know him. Know all about him. Know what he desired for Paul. Know what he could do for Paul. Know who he was. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And may share his sufferings. That's part of lifelong learning. Becoming like him in his death. That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, verse 12. "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, This is Paul. This is near the end of his life. This was probably his first Roman imprisonment. He may have had a second one, but it's near the end of his life. And he says, I'm not already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Brothers, I do not consider I have made it my own. That this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So he had attained something, but even at this point in his life, he's like, I don't have everything that I can have in this world regarding my spiritual life and growth. And to receive the prize of the upward call. So those are some passages regarding lifelong learning. Now, being a lifelong learner, more and more, I came across three texts that I want to show you where that phrase is used, more and more. And the first one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. It's an interesting first word, isn't it? Finally, we still got two chapters to go. It says, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. That's being a lifelong learner. It is not only knowing how we ought to live and knowing how to please God and actually doing that, but the objective is to do it what? More and more. I want to please God more with my life. I want to live more as I ought to live. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we have to say that, don't we? I'm not living to the full capacity of what I have in Christ. There's more I could do. There was a song that I learned shortly, right around the time when God called me into the ministry. I was a junior in high school. I was at a Christian camp. And the main speaker was a missionary in the Philippines. His name was Bernard Bancroft. And God used him in many ways in my life. Beyond that, he was a missions professor when I was in college. Really a really neat man. But he taught us a song when we were at that camp for high schoolers. And I'm not going to sing it for you. I'll just give you the words. It's about three or four verses, but it kind of goes like this. By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-riven face, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I'd given more. More, so much more, more of my life than I ever did before. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I'd given him more. And every single Christian, including Paul, is going to say that when they stand before the Lord and see him and consider all that he did so that we can be there with him forever. We're going to say, I wish I'd given him more. We learned another saying when I was in high school. It was common at that time. I don't know if it's still common or not, but it goes like this. Only one life. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And we need to grow in our understanding of that more and more. If I want something to last forever, it's found in being a lifelong learner about Jesus Christ and a life committed to Him. I worked with college students for 4 years, and one of the students that I worked with was in industrial arts. Teach, and he came up to me one day and he said, I need to go to a building project and watch men constructing something. And so I said, well, you know, I'm working this year I had to raise my support until I got support raised. I had to work. And I worked as a sheetrock hanger. I learned a lot that year. The biggest thing I learned that year is old sheetrockers never die, they just hang it up. But I said, well, why don't you come out? You can see carpenters working where we're at. You can see us putting up the sheetrock and the guys coming in afterwards and mudding it and taping it and doing all that kind of stuff. So he came out and watched for a while and he sat down at lunch. And he said, this is what I like about industrial arts, is to take materials and build something. And he said, you know, that's what I like about Christianity. Because he went on to say this, I can come back 20 years and show my son I built that. And I said, and I can come back a million years from now and point to somebody and say, by the grace of God, I built that. And it's still here. Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you to bring forth fruit and that your fruit remain. That's what this verse is getting at. More and more, how you ought to live and to please God. Well, go on in that chapter to verse 9. He says, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Isn't that great? These young Christians, God had taught them to love one another. And he's saying, that's great. I don't need to teach you to love one another. You're doing that. Verse 10, for that is indeed what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. And to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may live properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. We urge you, brothers, love one another more and more. And do that in such a way that outsiders, those who are outside of Christ, see what's happening in your life. But they see, wow, they really love each other. There was a first century Roman historian that was one of the comments he made about Christians. Was, behold how they love one another. That's part of our lifelong learning, is learning how to love. Learning how to care for the needs of others at whatever cost to ourselves. More and more. Jesus said, man has no greater love than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You're my friend. And he laid down his life for him. Greater love. We can love more than we love. The most loving person in the world still needs to learn to love more and more. Well, there's one more of these in Philippians chapter 9, 1, verse 9. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. And he adds this to it, with knowledge and all discernment. Love needs to be instructed. We live in a time when that's the great word in most Christian circles, is we've got to love, we've got to love. The world says that too. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. But we need to be a lifelong learner more and more, not only loving one another, but loving with knowledge and with discernment. What is better, to give a man a fish every day or to teach him how to fish? We teach him how to fish. That's love with discernment. If you just give somebody something every day, well, I'm loving them. And you're making them dependent on you. And they're not developing their own life. And so there comes a point when we say, you know, I've given you your last fish. take your rod and reel. We're going to go catch some today. You can have the joy of eating your own fish. That's with discernment. Verse 10, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. To prove what's excellent. More and more. To be pure and blameless. More and more. To be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. More and more. I want my life filled more. I'm not content with a half a bushel. I want a bushel. If God gives me a bushel, I want two bushels. Don't be content with your spiritual growth. He says godliness with contentment is great gain. There are times that we are to be content, but this is an area we're never to be content with. In fact, you know, I've arrived. I can kick back now. I have started thinking at this point in my life of retiring. And Al and I have talked about it. You know what she has told me? When you retire, the only thing that's going to change is you won't get paid. You'll keep doing everything you've been doing. And I hope that will be true. More and more. I can't believe people pay me to study the Bible. I teach it. I do it for free, but don't take that too seriously at the moment. Yeah, it's recorded. So, being a lifelong learner, what's it going to require from you? You know, we finished this course. Some of you have written a paper about things that you've realized where you need areas of growth. What are you going to do? Even if you didn't write the paper, if you've been listening to the classes and thinking about it, how do you become a lifelong learner? Remember, you've got to be intentional. Growth, I mean, a baby can just lay there and be fed and it'll grow. But if you want healthy growth, you've got to be intentional. It doesn't just happen. I think maybe I told you, or I know I've told somebody at one point, when I was in the fourth grade, my dad was a high school principal, he was an educator, and he got this really neat idea that if he got a record player with headphones and put the headphones on me while I slept, he could play Spanish records, and I would learn how to speak Spanish in my unconscious mind. It didn't work. It didn't work. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, I did. But I didn't learn Spanish. It doesn't. The only way you learn is intentionally. I learned Latin. Ita me mobil go westlo fil caltum americae for the charm et rei pubicae for quastat in natione subdeo non de vivinda finis studaque omnibus. That's the Pledge of Allegiance. We have to say that every day in Latin. Amo amas amat. Bonus benabidu benibani benibano benabano benibanabidu. Big, big conscience. I can still sing my high school fight song in Latin. One of my favorites is Deponenti humum in corbuli, which means put your gum in the wastebasket. That didn't just happen. That was intentional. My Latin teacher said the first law of learning is repetition, repetition, repetition. And boy, did she repeat. And we learned. So you have to be intentional when it comes to being a lifelong learner. It just doesn't happen. You've got to make time for it. You've got to make the materials necessary for it. When it comes to your spiritual life, you've got to pray for it. You've got to read the Word to find out. You have to be intentional. Second, select an area of focus. When we do a course like this of 12 weeks, and we could have covered a lot of other areas that this book didn't cover.
You begin to feel a little overwhelmed.
Where do I start?
Man,
there's so many areas in my life that need to be developed. Well, you ever heard the song about Oops, There Goes Another Rubber Tree Plant? Way back in the 50s. About the ant. Select one thing and start working on it. Intentionally. And that doesn't mean let other things go, but let one thing really be your area of focus. It may be your prayer life. It may be your Bible study. It may be your witnessing. But select an area of focus to work on for an extended period of time. Then set a measurable goal. We've got to be careful here about setting goals. For example, if we're going to do witnessing, what would be a measurable goal that would be a fitting goal? How about this? I'm going to win 5 souls to Christ this week. Would that be a good measurable goal? Why not? Okay. Okay, what would be a good measurable goal in your witnessing?
I'm going to win 5 people this week.
Okay. I'm going to ask the Lord to lead me to 5 people to speak to this week. Okay. Or people at work. Or strangers. One of the hardest things for me is to start a conversation. Once I get started, it's easy. And that might be a measurable goal. This week, I'm going to start 5 conversations. And once I learn to start conversations, then maybe the next goal is I'm going to try to introduce the gospel into a conversation. And it may turn out to be a good conversation. I may be cut off, but that's a measurable goal. Did I seek to bring the gospel into that conversation? So setting measurable goals will help you and encourage you. Wow, did God use me to speak to 5 people this week? And if that seems too high a goal, cut it back to 3. But set a goal that's measurable. Now, how about prayer? I'm going to get 5 answers to prayer this week. No, that's not a measurable goal. I mean, that's wonderful if you see 5 answers to your prayer. But a measurable goal to pray is, I'm going to set aside 10 minutes every day to pray for a church, our missionaries, the people that are in our bulletin. If you come to the prayer meeting, you get a whole list of stuff that you can pray for. And my goal is, I'm going to pray for that whole list 3 times this week. If I don't get through the whole list today, I'll finish it tomorrow. That's a measurable goal of learning how to pray and developing the habit of praying. Bible study. I'm going to devote 15 minutes a day to the study of God's Word. That's a measurable goal. Did I do it? What was the results? What did I learn today? And so forth. Set a measurable goal. Progress. You might want to increase your goals as you develop. As you develop some habits in one particular area, you might want to add another area. Making progress. Don't just keep spinning your tires. Seek to get someplace. Make progress. And then just keep repeating the process over and over and over for the rest of your life. So those are some ways to be a lifelong learner and really accomplish something. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Both now and to the day of eternity. But to Him be glory and you grow in grace. One thing about the word grow in terms of its original language. In the Greek, the present tense, which this is a continuous thing. It's not a do it and done thing. It's a continuous thing. And you could almost translate it very accurately this way, but keep growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just for review, what is grace? For the growing grace. Does that mean I grow in gaining God's favor in my life? Grace is
being undeserved and being able for God to accomplish it. I
can't understand. You're getting the concept. Grace is the unmerited favor and enablement of God whereby we become and do what we would not otherwise become and do. And that fits this. I'm growing in the enablement He's giving me to become and to do what I couldn't do otherwise, and to do it even better than I've done it before. Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are three main words for knowledge in the New Testament. One of them is an intuitive knowledge, that you just kind of feel it. You saw those clouds rolling in, I knew it was going to rain. If you're in the Midwest, that happens. Out here, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. But Jeremy, I intuitively believe it's going to rain. That's one kind of knowledge. Another kind of knowledge is knowledge by experience. That's learned by experience. And then there's another word for knowledge that is actually the experience taken to a higher level. And sometimes it's translated the full knowledge or full experience. And that fits here too, isn't it? Not only are we to grow in the enablement of God to become and do what we couldn't otherwise do, but we're to grow in the experience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what Paul meant in Philippians 3, that I may know Him. It's, oh, you're Jesus! That's not what we're talking about. It's, I know who you are, I know what you can do in my life, and I'm related to you, and you're transforming my experience. That's what it's talking about here. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory that we can grow in grace and in that knowledge. And let it be both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. All right, that's our lesson for tonight. Any questions you'd like to ask about lifelong learning? Or anything that we've studied throughout the course? Yes?
You just talked about the Philippians 3 scripture, and you said, I press on to make it my own. Would you give this a pronoun referring for it? What is it?
Well, preceding verse. Not that I have already obtained this. What's this? The resurrection from the dead. Becoming like Him in His death. Sharing His sufferings. Knowing Him. Not that I have already attained this. Or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. All those things He talked about. Okay. Because Christ Jesus had made me His own. Does that help? Okay.
It was only one.
Well, probably, if you want just one thing, probably goes back to verse 9. Being found in Him. And everything related to Him. His resurrection, His sufferings, like Him in His death, the resurrection from the dead. to know Christ, to be found in Him. Any other questions you'd like to ask?
How do you know if there is a reliable source on the internet or whatever? How do you know what is reliable if you want to have additional writing?
Ask somebody. Mm-hmm. Ask somebody you trust.
Okay.
And let me give you one. I don't know. There's several like this that are on the internet. But one I have used over and over and over because it's got, well, I can't bring it up here, I don't think. It's called Blue Letter Bible.
Yeah.
All one, no spaces between the words, just Blue Letter Bible. Google that and it'll bring it up. And it has so many things.
B-L-U-E-B-I-B-L-E-T-T-E-R.
B-I-B-I-B.
But I didn't know if every one of those was a thing
reference.
Okay. Well, how would I know that?
You ask somebody.
Okay.
Okay, it comes back to that. If you've got questions, ask. Yeah, that's got a lot of commentaries.
Modern.
Let me write some on the board.
Modernism
is? Thankful for Latin. Earth is work. Mono is one. God's saving of us is a monergistic work. The opposite of this is synergism, where many work together to accomplish it, which is.
And most of them are almost reformed.
Yeah. It's a good. It's much more difficult than this one.
Well, I was looking at this because if you recommended these readings and these people on these articles recommended something, I'm assuming.
Don't assume. No.
Okay.
I tried to select articles that fit the class, but I don't necessarily recommend everything about the authors.
Okay, well, I didn't go by the author, but they recommended this type of gospel coalition.
Yeah, that's a good story.
Okay.
There's another one called Esau that's a lot like Blue Letter Bible. Blue Letter Bible is only types of things that are in it. It has like one section is Bible translations, and it has like about 20 different translations of the Bible. Some of them are good, some of them are not so good. Some of them are literal translations, some of them are paraphrases. Some of them are Spanish, some of them are Latin. But you've got all those versions on there. Instead of having, you know, two or three Bibles laid out and you're trying to check them, you can just put in a verse and say, I want all the Bibles on that verse, and I'll list them all. And you can just read them real quickly. So it's got that. If you pull up a verse like Philippians 1:6, it'll give you the verse, and then it'll do some really neat things with it. It'll show you what the original word is for each one of the words that are in the verse, and it'll give you a number, and that number is Strong's Concordance. Now, if you have a Strong's Concordance, that thing is about this thick, and you can get a good workout just going like this with it. It's a heavy book. And before I had the internet, I wore a couple of those out, just turning back and forth and turning back and forth. And the Blue Letter Bible, it gives you the number. You hit that number and it opens up the reference in Strong's. So it does that. It has another column that is commentaries. It doesn't have a lot. It's got a few. One of them is by Matthew Henry. And Matthew Henry was a Puritan, and
So there's certain areas with Matthew Henry that we wouldn't agree, such as infant baptism. But for the most part, he's really a good commentator. And he's on there. There's a few others that are on there. Again, some of them are good, some of them are not so hot. And if you don't know, you ask. There's another thing that's on there that's kind of interesting, and it's songs based on verses. Not every verse will have a song connected with it, but some of the songs we sing are based on certain passages of Scripture. And if you pull it up, you can pull up a song that may describe that verse. I mean, there's just so many neat things on there that are helpful, and it's free. You don't have to pay for it. If you're studying, you come across a name or a book, and you're not sure, ask someone like Dan or myself, and we'll be glad to tell you what we know about it or research it for you. Because there is a lot of good stuff out there, and there's a lot of junk out there, too. Mm-hmm. And you really want to get the good stuff. Okay. Good. Anything else you'd like to ask us? I got a little time.
Have you all recognized an area where you need to grow?
At least one area?
I hope so.
Well, if you don't have any questions, that's fine. I'm available anytime. You can email me or pull me aside at church, and I'll be glad to visit with you or set up an appointment and help you any way I can, or if it's one of your ladies and I've trained her pretty well. She can probably help you too. Yeah. Every morning at breakfast, I've got a question. I've got another question.
Asking questions.
All right, well, let's pray. And again, if you'd like to take the next class, it'll start on the 14th. And I really think you would enjoy it. It's one of my favorite areas. Father in heaven, thank you for these weeks that we spent together learning about growing towards spiritual maturity. We're all at different stages in our growth, Lord, but help us to realize that wherever we are, there's still more growth to be done. Help us to recognize those areas in our life and intentionally seek to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ and in those areas, not only for our own well-being, but so that we can help others to grow in the same way. So thank you for each one who's attended. Help them to remember and apply things that they've heard for their growth and blessing and your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.